students enrolled in the arts camp this week. Today, some of those children are going to be providing special music from around the world. Their music is a part of our worship, so you do not have to applaud after every one of their performances. They've got about six or eight songs that they're going to be singing, so we may be here at 2 o'clock if you applaud after every one of them. You can save it and applaud at the end. They will be doing the postlude, so you can save it for that point in the service. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street. And as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, if you will give us your address and phone number, that will give us the opportunity to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So now, if you would please pass those attendance pads down the pew, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. Our Wednesday night gathering series will begin again on August the 29th. That's about 2 weeks away. On that one Wednesday night, rather than beginning the meal at 5:15, for that one Wednesday night, the meal will be at 6 o'clock, that one Wednesday night only. Then we'll go back to our normal time. A certain person in this church will be celebrating their 50th birthday, and I'm not going to tell you who that is, but we will help that person celebrate on that Wednesday night. So please call the church office and make reservations for that. Also this evening at 6:30 in the fellowship hall, there will be an informational meeting on Disciple Bible Study. If you are interested in taking Disciple Bible Study this fall, or if you don't know what it's about and would like to find out a little bit more about it, please plan to attend that informational meeting this evening at 6:30. Also, next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock during the normal Sunday school hour, we will be having another of our Safe Sanctuaries training program. It's important to note that our Safe Sanctuaries program is being dictated by the General Conference. We have developed a policy which we feel is very workable for Main Street, and it is important that everyone who needs to be trained in that please come and get that training. We've already had about four or five training sessions, but there are still quite a number of people that do need to be trained in our Safe Sanctuaries policy. Now, if you're thinking, I don't know whether or not I need to be trained, if you are going to be involved with children or youth in any way, if you're going to be a Sunday school teacher, if you're going to be a chaperone, if you're going on any trips with youth, if you're involved with them in any way, you need to go through that training before you will be allowed to continue with that exercise. We also strongly encourage all parents of children and youth to attend the training session. Also, any youth that are helping with programs with children, we ask you to also attend a training session so that you will know what the policy is all about. So we're trying to make it easy for you. We're going to have it during the Sunday school hour next Sunday at 10 o'clock. You don't have an excuse by saying, I've worked during the week or I'm busy on the night during the week. This will be next Sunday morning, 10 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you.
Give to us the seeing of the eyes of faith. Give to us the knowing of the renewed mind. Give to us the believing of the surrendered heart. Give to us the purity that desires beyond ordinary perception. Give to us the goal that is the essence of your purpose. Give to us the faith that trusts in your complete provision to each of us as we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. We come now to our time of prayer. I call to your attention some prayer concerns. Jimmy Wade, who is in the hospital, and Flincham recovering from knee surgery. Ken Flincham also having some problems. The family of Mamie Scurry, who passed away this past week. Gary Clark, who is home recovering. Henny Cox, who lost a brother, Dr. Nanarolo, I believe I'm pronouncing that properly. And also Bill Sandel, who's moved to Wesley Commons. And we offer sympathy to Larry and Margaret Gerhardt on the death of Margaret's father, Winston Wimmer. I do appreciate those of you who've asked about my father. He is still hanging in there at hospice in Spartanburg and not communicating very much, but I do appreciate your prayers and your concern and your asking. Let us lift up our prayers, our thanksgivings, and our concerns before God as we pray together. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we have gathered out from our lives, out from the noise of the world, to be together with your people, and alone with you. Lord of all, God of love and life and hope, we come from different places with different histories and families and traditions and expectations, but together we come united, seeking your face, seeking your will, seeking your comfort and your promised peace. Remind us how much alike we are, how we all need love and encouragement, how we all need to be able to trust, how we all need to be able to forgive and grow beyond our pains and disappointments. We seek your power and direction. Grow us in ways that draw us closer to you and to each other, and to become the people you want us to be. We pray for the world and what we have made of it, for the leaders of the nations of the world, that they may be more open to the influence of your Spirit. And we do pray our silent prayers, our prayers for those who grieve, for those with difficult decisions to make, for those who doubt and fear, for those who have prayers they lift only before you. Now let us lift up our silent prayers in our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray as your Son, our Savior, taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. It is children's time all through the service today, but especially children's time for the message with Ryan Moore. I ask the children to come down front.
For the rest of you guys to get down here. Anybody have any offerings? That's actually what we're going to talk about today. All right. By a show of hands, who has a piggy bank at home? Anybody? Piggy bank? Or any kind of bank? It doesn't have to be a pig. Your favorite farm animal will do. All right. How much money's in your piggy bank? Leanne, how much money do you have?
I don't really know.
You have no idea. Sounds like me. I don't really want to know how much is in mine. How about you? How much money is in your piggy bank? A lot. A lot of money. All right. How much money is in yours?
I can't put any because two of the legs broke.
Your pig is broken. You can't have any money in it. That's too bad. All right. Jesus taught us that while it's good to have money in our piggy bank, we should also store up what are called treasures in heaven. Does anybody know how to store up a treasure in heaven? I'll give you an example. Giving money to the poor. Can anybody else name one? No one. How about being a friend to someone who doesn't have one? Little things, like being nice to people, opening doors for the wonderful old ladies we have. All right, so this week you can try to store up treasures in heaven. Your parents are great people and they can help you do that. So if you follow me in prayer. Father, we may not have much in the way of earthly treasures, but help us to store up treasures in heaven. Amen.
I know that we do have some visitors today, and I don't want to scare you. When we pass the peace, it doesn't mean that we all just lose control. We greet each other in the, sometimes we do. We greet each other in the love of Christ. We greet each other if we have not met. We greet each other with love. Let us pass the peace. It is getting a little more rowdy when we pass the peace, but I think that's okay. Peace, 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 blanket peace. I'm going to mention you in the sermon today. I forgot to ask your permission.
That was a great job. I think our adult choir is now challenged. You'll find our Old Testament scripture reading this morning on page 771 of your pew Bible. I'll be reading from the first chapter of the book Isaiah, verse 1 and verses 10 through 20. The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, trampling on my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbath, and convocations, I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord. Our New Testament reading is on page 273 of your pew Bible. I'll be reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 to 3 and 8 through 16. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him for the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was able to become a father because he considered him faithful, who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We now continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Let us worship through our giving.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns to your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Remain standing for our gospel reading on page 91 in your pew Bible from the Gospel of Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 32 through 40. Hear now God's word. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now let us affirm our faith through this ancient creed, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I heard a statistic this past week. I'm not sure how they found it out, but one of the statistics that they mentioned was that 16% of churchgoers have at least one time checked their email during the sermon. I'm going to ask the ushers to make sure that doesn't happen today. We live in two worlds, physical world and a spiritual world. We mix them up in odd ways, and a story I like illustrates that. A family's pet dog gave birth and had five puppies, and the parents told them that they could keep one of the puppies and had to give the others away, but the enterprising young son in the family said that he was going to sell the puppies. And the father overheard him doing his prayers by his bedside that night, and he prayed, "Dear God, help me sell these puppies for $10,000 each." Well, the father went to work, came home the next day and said, "Son, did you sell any of the puppies?" And said, "Well, I only sold one." And he said, "Well, did you get your price?" He said, "Yes." The girl next door traded me two $5,000 kittens. God works in mysterious ways. When I stand up here for a funeral and say there is more to life than these bodies, there is some comfort and some distant beyond this world reality which Jesus pointed to and promised, we call heaven our God's eternal kingdom. When I do that, people are comforted. But when I stand up here and speak not about us going, but the kingdom coming into the here and now, sometimes I get puzzled looks, sometimes I get head-patting ridicule, and sometimes terror. We don't mind the kingdom as a final destination, but we mind very much some unknown, unstoppable, godly upheaval coming here into our world, into our figured out lives, into our carefully compromised, comfortable existence, and messing up what we've got. Some people have it bad in this world, but most of us, most of the time, we've got it okay. We don't yearn for God's kingdom to come in the here and now and change things up. As far as things go, mostly we're up. Any radical change can only bring us down. What if my view of God has nothing to do with God, really? What if all of our constructs are meaningless and God is indeed coming, not just to cradle us when we die, but here sometime to set things right and justice for the downtrodden and bring justice on the heads of the selfish and the dispassionate? The coming of the kingdom of God is a day of rejoicing for those who believe and have yearned to see God. Scripture speaks of it as a day of horror and judgment for those who have known but ignored God's will. Known but turned their backs on what they felt in their bones God would have them do. Live and love and give as Christ did. Well, mixed feelings or not, nevertheless, the scripture for today says, fear not. Fear not. Do not live in fear, little flock. It pleases your Father to give you the kingdom. Now, I am not sure if we are more afraid of missing out on the kingdom of God or its eventual showing up. Can we say, no thank you? No thank you, God. I like myself just as I am. I like my construct of you just as I have made it. I like the world and its comforts just fine. Leave me out of your kingdom come. I'm having a fine time in this flawed world as it is. Of course, there is suffering and poverty and hatred and violence and evil and death and disease, but that's mostly other people. They may yearn for your kingdom come. They may even mean it when they pray it, as Jesus taught, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But as for me, I'm not suffering. I'm not poor. I don't hate much. I'm not violent in obvious ways. I've done away with evil by simply deciding not to believe in it. And disease has been handled so far by my excellent insurance and money enough to buy cures and care. Maybe one day when death approaches, maybe then I'll think of your kingdom as a place to rest from my labors, such as they are. But as far as the here and now, no thank you to your kingdom come. No thank you to your offer to give me the kingdom. I've got it just fine. I already have my reward. You'll remember that Jesus, before he began his ministry, was tempted in the wilderness and offered earthly power and earthly fame and ample earthly needs met. And he rejected all of these and instead sought to do God's will for God's kingdom. It seems to me that most of us would have taken the first offer. Most of us, to some degree, have already put our hope and trust right here and now and in God only in the there and then when we die. And it's odd. How very odd, when Jesus lived and taught and suffered for living out the knife's edge of God's incoming kingdom, and he paid a price for it, for living so differently. How odd that we don't think we are called to live differently. And it may be timid preachers' fault, it may be our fault. Have we not made it clear that those who claim Christ are to pray for the power to live like and to love like and to have the values of Jesus Christ? We don't, you know. Christians, on average, people who claim to follow Christ, live and spend and grudge and feud and spite and squander and serve self pretty much like our neighbors who claim no spiritual beliefs at all. I worry that we do not rejoice in Jesus' word that we should not fear, for it is the Father's goodwill to give us the kingdom. I worry that we do not rejoice because we are sold out to the world and we have sat down satisfied with the little or the lot that we have. God says here, put your heart and your treasure in me and my will and live as Christ lived in a new reality. And we say very often, no thank you. I don't want to appear odd. I don't want to appear different. I don't want to tithe my money. I just want a little religion for appearance's sake. Not enough to change my life, my love, my spending, myself. Jesus seems to assume that we would fear not being included in God's plans to reclaim and change the world and us, and that we might fear God as well because of our sense of sin and guilt. But we don't fear God. We rarely think of God. For many people, God has become a fluffy, warm, and soft thought like a towel just out of the dryer. Who would ever fear such a thought? Worship. It's supposed to be an awesome thing. It's supposed to bring us into a mindset, an awareness of both sin and grace, an attitude of praise and prayer. Worship is supposed to have an audience of one, not me. The audience is God. God is the audience of worship, and if we feel that for even a moment, we will be shaken to the core. If we feel and understand, I, when I pray, am speaking to God. I, when I sing, am singing to God. I'm hearing the will and the word of God through the scripture and through the sermon. Maybe not fear exactly, but awe would be a better word. Shouldn't there at least be moments of awe? But instead, for most of us, most of the time, we confuse worship with performance. And I do think what the children are doing today is wonderful, and it is worshipful. They are giving of themselves so sincerely and from their hearts. But there are times when Joyce performs well, and we tell her, and I perform well on occasion, and you tell me, and the choir, and the children's sermon people, and the acolytes, and the ushers all do their jobs with appropriate respect and decorum, and we say so to them as if they did it for us to see. We are not here for each other to see. I do hope we are not here for each other to see. We are here to worship God, the one God who is, the one beyond whom there is no other, the uncreated creator, the holy, infinitely loving and giver of life and eternal life, God. I like this story about a boy's sense of awe going to God's presence, but he had it a little wrong. He was visiting with his father, New York City, for the first time, and they got aboard an elevator that was going to take them to the top of the Empire State Building. And as this high-speed elevator got past the 60th floor, the little boy looked up at his father and says, "Daddy, does God know we're coming?" Well, my question is, do we know, do we really know? God is here. God is here. And now. The one who loves us enough to allow us to walk in ways contrary to his will, that is sin, and loves us and calls us back to a more perfect way, to his kingdom way, the way we have seen and known in Jesus Christ. God has given us this way home, this way into his arms, not just when we die, but now, for a change of direction and a change of focus today, now. And so often in thought, word, and deed, time, treasure, and talent, we say, "Thank you for the offer, God, but I'm fine. Now, if I should ever die, we can talk. But as for my life, I think I'll keep it for myself. And as for your kingdom, you can keep that." It reminds me of the verse in Matthew 10:39. In fact, it explains that verse. Those who try to keep their own life will lose it, but those who lose their life or give their life for my sake will gain it. In case you've ever wondered what that scripture was about, I think this is the point. Time, treasure, talent. If we say no thank you to God, I'm fine. If I should ever die, we'll talk. But for now, I'm going to keep my life. And for now, you can keep your kingdom. I think that is what that verse is about. There was a day when preachers used to have to undo the bad theology of generations of fire and fear and brimstone preaching. I think we have succeeded in undoing that and then some. Not only is there no fear or fire, there is no particular desire for the good that God has offered us. It is the Father's goodwill that he give us the kingdom. And we say, maybe later. I'm too busy with my life, my new wife, my new car, my new boat, my house, my hip, my hair, my hobbies. As I look out and see, we do have some guests today, but some regulars who are irregular. Summer is proof, at least to me, that church is where you go when you have absolutely nothing better to do. But what of God? And who God is, and God's worthiness to be worshipped. God is the audience, even in this moment, for our thoughts and our prayers and our hymns of praise. What of God who has sought and found us and desires to offer us new life, new love, new hearts, more like Jesus? What of God's kingdom? God is pleased to give it. Why are we not pleased to receive it? Fear not, little flock. It has pleased your Father to give you the kingdom. You need to hear the gospel, the good news, that God who is a gracious God. He is for us. He wills life. He wills wholeness of life for each of us. It is your invitation to life and freedom and release, to come out from under the pressures and out from under the pleasures that keep us from hearing what Jesus is saying about God. We need God. Life is not whole or holy apart from God. Sin and guilt are real spiritual forces which cannot be ignored forever. God in Christ has given us a way to overcome and live free and connected lives with God and with each other and with our true selves. Now, this text does talk about giving away your money. If you hang too tight to money, you'll miss what is really important. I think that's what we really need to take from this text. As you are leaving this earth, and I've been by the bedsides of multi-millionaires, as you are leaving this earth, the only thing that comforts is friends and family and faith. As I said this morning, I have never seen anyone, as they are leaving, ask for their checkbook or for their stock portfolio. It brings no comfort. You want friends, and you want family, and you want your faith. Money simply distorts our vision of what is important. You see, you can spend meaningful time with friends and family and faith right now. You need not wait for the end of your life. What usually gets in the way of that time is money and the pursuit of it, or the ostentatious use of it, or the divisions that it can cause. As I close, I want to share with you an exercise that hospice uses for the families and for the patients there. And it's an exercise where they ask you to write your 25 treasures, your five most prized possessions, and you can think of these, your five favorite activities, your five most valuable body parts. For the patients do lose use of body parts as the disease progresses. Five values that are important to you and five people you love the most. That's your 25 treasures. And then as you are seeking to, or they're seeking to teach you to understand what it's like to be your loved one, the patient there at hospice, they tell you a story and to imagine that you are getting some terminal disease and the progression that goes with it. And during the story, they pause and they tell you to strike out one, and you choose, and then strike out two, and then they ask you to strike out three until there are no treasures left. But my illustration does not end there, because life does not end there. The good news is that God doesn't have to be on the list of loss. Friends will go away. Family will go away. Possessions will go away. Jesus calls them things of dust and rust and decay. But faith in God is the one thing which lasts. Once I shed, or at least hold more loosely, the treasures of this life, then I can rest more securely and completely in the arms of Jesus Christ. I do not have to die to do that. I can do that today. You can do that today. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Reach out and accept it. Live in it and grow in it. And pray to God for the power, the spiritual power, to become more like His Son. As you live, as you love, as you forgive, as you notice and have compassion on others in need, pray for the power to live now in the kingdom which is coming. Let us not wait till the end of our lives to have hope in God's power to make all things new. Amen. We will have our arts campers sing the first time, and then we'll join in the second. But let us stand together for hymn number 431. thank you, Arts Campers, all of you throughout the service, but just now I think you led us to sing better than we have ever sung before. So I expect you back here next week. Now receive this blessing. Be blessed with the full knowledge of the love of God, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the power and the guidance and the growth and the peace which is yours through the Holy Spirit, even in this moment. You have been blessed. Be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.